Well, good morning to everybody. Glad to see you here today. As we are working our way through Deuteronomy, Pastor Ryan has taken us through what we required of judges and what was required of kings. And now we will talk about the positions of priests and what they do and what their purpose is and the character of them. So if you will, make your way to Deuteronomy 18 today. Deuteronomy 18, and that's where we will get started. Verse 1. The priest, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offering of the Lord made by fire and his portion. Therefore they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, whether it is a bull or sheep. They shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheek, and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain and your new wine and your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep you shall give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So if a Levite comes from any of your gates, from where he dwells among all Israel, and comes with all the desires of his mind to make place which the Lord chooses, then he may serve in the name of the Lord his God, as all brethren the Levites do, who stand there before the Lord, and they shall have equal portions to eat, besides what comes from the sale of his inheritance. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the tribe of Levi. As you can see in verse 1, it says that we have priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi. So the question is, what is the difference between the priest, the Levites, the tribe, and the high priest? What is going on here? So let's talk a minute about the high priest. The priests are descendants of Aaron. Okay, so in order to be a high priest, you must be a descendant of Aaron, who is a Levite. We can see this in Numbers 3:10, where it's established that you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. Now, what is the job of the high priest? Well, they had a pretty extensive list of the things that they had to do. They had to keep the oil in the lampstands so that the lamps would burn continuously in there, in the temple. They were to stand outside the veil from morning until evening. They were supposed to be at post there. They are to offer the sacrifices to the Lord, including burnt offerings, which you can read about in Exodus 29, and so on from there. But this was a pretty intense process. This wasn't just, you know, all right, let's cut, let some blood drain, and let's go, let's move on, next one. It was a pretty intense process. And they were also to keep fire on the altar burning at all times. And they were to teach the law to the people. They had many other duties, but the main thing I want you to remember about the high priest is that they represented the people before God and offered the various sacrifices prescribed by the law. So they were a representation of the people before God in the temple. Their position was set in place by God, listen, to point directly to Christ. When we look at this high priest position, we will see later on that it points directly to Christ and who our new high priest is. The whole priestly system was just a shadow of Christ. Jesus Christ is the high priest who offered the one sacrifice for sins once and for all. He did it all. That's why we do not have the temple and the sacrificing anymore. Hebrews 10:10 said, "By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." It is finished. No more sacrifices. The perfect lamb. That's the good news. We don't have to offer sacrifices anymore. That debt for sin has been paid once and for all for who believe. I want to point out something here. God instructed the Israelites to sacrifice all of these animals. Think about this. It was ugly. It was real ugly. Think about the blood. Think about the smell. Have you been around a dead animal? Think about all that blood flowing. Think about the taking of life. It's ugly. And the purpose of this was to remind everyone how despicable our sin is, how ugly our sin is to God. There's a direct purpose for everything that God had set in place. We do not have to watch animals be put to death anymore, but in our hearts we should never take lightly the death that our Savior had gone through. Never take that lightly. In our hearts, we should be reminded about the blood that Jesus shed for us. In our hearts, we need not to forget that our sin is the reason that Jesus Christ was put on the cross. Our hearts break, but we rejoice. We rejoice because of the sacrifice that is done once and for all now paves the way to the Holy of Holies. In the temple, there was an area that was set apart. It was the Holy of Holies. The presence of God was in this area. And only the high priest could go in there. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, he would take the blood and he would go behind that veil and he would offer that blood for the atonement for sins of the people. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you could read that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And we now have access to the Holy of Holies. Does that not amaze you? We could talk to the Holy God. In an instant, we're in the presence of the Holy of Holies. Because of what Christ has done, there are no more human priesthood. Not anymore. Guess what? The term priest now applies to believers. You are the priest, prophet, and provider of your home. You hear us say that all the time. But the Word tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're the priest that can enter the Holy of Holies. As priests, we now have free access to the holiest of all. We come before the King. And now we offer up the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to our God and the sacrifices of grateful service from day to day to our Lord. That's what we do as priests. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our King, and we should praise Him with everything we have. Amen? Amen. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12 tells us. So Jesus Christ is our high priest, and we are now priests ourselves. So back to the text a little bit. Now, if the descendants of Aaron can be priests, are they the only ones that can be the high priest, then what do the other Levites do? We got a whole tribe of people. What do they do? Well, flip back over to Numbers. Go to Numbers 18. Numbers 18, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with all you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle. But they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. They shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting. For all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you, and you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. So we see that the Levites were a gift to the priest and were to work at the tabernacle. They were to minister to the priest. Point out something here. You remember a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we was going through Deuteronomy chapter 14. And I told you that there were a couple of reasons why God gave the commandments, the laws, and the statutes. And one of the reasons was so that they would know that they could not and should not come to the Lord in just any old way. He said, I have a procedure set in place, and this is the way that you will come to me. Well, let me read verse 3 again, and I want you to tell me if God is serious about the way he wants things done. Verse 3, they shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die. They and you also. You think God's serious? Not only would he take out the offender, but he will also take out the one that allowed him to offend. Don't come to me in just any old way. They are supposed to have reverence for a holy God. We must have reverence for a holy God. Here's a reminder, just in case you have forgotten. God is just as holy today as he was back then when he set this in place. Don't get confused and just think you could come to God in any old way. We need to ditch that thought to think that we could just come to God, that he's our big guy in the sky. Hey, here's my want list. Do what I need done. Hey, you're my homie. You're my brother. Me and you tight. You know who I am. The problem is he does know who you are. He knows you're a filthy sinner in the need of a Savior. We don't just come to him in any old way. The good news is he's willing to be that Savior. He's willing to leave the glories of heaven, empty himself, take on human flesh, live a sinless life, die a horrible death on a cross, suffer the wrath of God for sin. Yeah, he knows who you are, and he knows how you are. But the question is, do you know him? He's not the big guy in the sky. In case you don't know, he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords, and he's our high priest, and he's coming back one day. He will set the record straight. There will be no confusion who Jesus Christ is. There will be no doubt who Jesus Christ is, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Amen. He's our high priest. And we need to praise him with our hearts. God's not so concerned about what you wear or where you are. You may be in a warehouse. As much as he's concerned about your heart. Do you have reverence in your heart for God? You understand what I'm saying? All through the book of Deuteronomy, we have read that if they would only turn their hearts back to the Father, if they would only turn their hearts back to God. That's what he keeps crying out to his people. Turn your hearts back to me. See, your reverence for God is in your heart. It's inside. It's in your heart. You get that right, and the outside, your actions, will follow each and every time. You don't get right and come to God. Ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. You come to God and he makes you right. You come to God and he clothes you in righteousness. So we can see that God had a set way in which he wanted his tabernacle to run. He had his chosen people to run it. The descendants of Aaron were to be the priest. The Levites were to minister to the priest. And they were to do it in a specific way. There's something else that should pop out to you. A light should go off right here. It may not be so politically correct, but God says there is only one way to come to me, and any other way will result in death. Did you get that? Did you see that? How many times have you heard in the last 5 months that the things in the Old Testament are just a foreshadow of the Messiah, that all things point to Christ? Well, right here, it does it again. right here. The gospel message is right here. There is only one way to approach God, and any other way will result in death. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way, only through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's paid the price for sin. So stop trying to reach heaven by your own works. Stop trying to make your own road to heaven. There's only one way. Rest in what the Lord has done for you. Stop insulting God by thinking that you know a better way. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. God says, don't even attempt to approach me in any other way than I have prescribed, because it will surely result in death. There's no other way. Salvation comes by no other way. Now, the job of the Levites was to help the duties at the temple, but they were also to teach God's law to the people. So they were to know the law and to teach it to the people. They were very busy. They had a lot of work. They helped the temple. They helped at the temple with all the work. They studied the law to know it in and out, inside and out, and then they taught it to the people. So if they did all of this, they would not have much time to do the farming and tending to the animals to provide for themselves or their families. They had a heavy load on their back to take care of. But again, we see how God's perfect plan works each time. The people will give, and the Levites will be taken care of. We read in verse 1 that the Levites did not have any inheritance of the promised land to call their own. So you see, the 11 tribes each received a section of the land that was considered their own. They had the country of this and the country of that. They all had their section, all 11 tribes, but not the Levites. Now, this did not mean that the Levites could not own land at all. They could. As a matter of fact, there was 48 cities in the territories of the other tribes all throughout, some with pasture land for cattle and crops, but they did not own an entire territory. But they could own land. Listen, not all the Levites followed and served God. Not all of them did that. As a matter of fact, we know a famous Levite who was serving the Roman government and not the Lord during the time when Jesus walked on earth. Any guesses? Matthew, right? Matthew was a Levite, but he was a tax collector. He was serving the Roman government and not God. So God did not require all Levites to be in the ministry work, but if you were in the ministry work, you were required to be a Levite. Make sense? You with me? Okay, all right. So the Levites were set aside for God's work, which means that they did not have a regular job, and therefore they must depend on the other tribes for their food and drink. And this came from the offering and the sacrifices of the people. And so we read in verse 3 through 8 that the priest had the right to a portion or share of the offering and sacrifices. So that's how they survived off that. They live by faith and blessing rather than land and livelihood. Think about that. God says you're going into, remember, none of this has been established yet. I mean, it's been established, but it's not put into works. Here's the land. Oh, yeah, you don't get any land. Here's what I want you to do, and trust in me that the rest of the people will give and provide for you. I bet a few of them had a few questions. But they were willing to go by faith and follow what God had said to do. So they lived by faith rather than land and livelihood. They trusted in God instead of the world. They trusted in God instead of the work of their hands. Their inheritance was the Lord. And that applies to us today. In case you do not know, Jesus Christ is our inheritance. We are to live by faith also. We are to walk by faith. We all have faith. You go, well, I don't understand what faith. Well, we all have faith. I mean, we We pull up to a building, we talk into a box, pull up to a window, they hand us a bag of stuff, and we eat it. That's faith. Things unseen. We are willing to put faith in something like that. But, you know, we all have faith. The point I'm making is that we all have faith. But the question is, do you have saving faith? Do you understand what saving faith is? Saving faith is that you trust in the finished work of the high priest, Jesus Christ. Do you trust in God's word? Do you trust that he was the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice to pay the price for sins? Do you trust that that is the only way into heaven? Do you trust that you cannot do it any other ways? Do you trust that your good works are filthy rags? Because the word tells you that. And if you look deep in your heart, and if you have that reverence for God, then you'll know that you can't trust in those works. Because they are filthy rags. Saving faith is trusting in the finished work of our high priest, Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Don't leave here today not understanding that. Hebrews 10:10. We all have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. After Jesus Christ had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. It is finished. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Pastor Ryan.